Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal.
It's a hard skill to learn, but it is a skill that we're not spending much time practicing in popular culture at all. I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, amicable dissent.
There are few models in the media for amicable disagreement that so often what you see, and of course social media has a lot to do with this because you're not in the presence of the person you're arguing with, so all kinds of crap can get thrown back and forth because you're not responding really with another human being. But, you know, this is going to sound like boomer nostalgia here, but I mean, there used to be many programs on TV, debate programs, where people would disagree with each other. And you would see these two intelligent people talk to each other and had differing points of view.
We not only need cultural examples of people having good disagreements.
Yeah.
We need cultural examples of people changing their mind without a slew of negative consequences that come from that. Right. Part of the problem is we leveled the charge flip-flopper at people, not because they changed their minds, but because they appeared to change their minds primarily on the basis of prevailing public opinion rather than some internal process of reflection. So it wasn't that they thought this through and came to a different conclusion. It's that the polls now seem to be going the other way. So I'm going to go that. I'm going to go in the way that the wind is blowing. And that is not a desirable characteristic in a politician. But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater on this. Just because there are bad ways of changing your mind doesn't mean that changing your mind is bad. And I think we need examples of people who will reach a different conclusion after analyzing a situation more carefully or in light of additional evidence, and then come out and say, you know what? I used to believe X. Now I believe Y. Here's why. And for people to say, wonderful.
Yeah.
I had a friend who used to say, the greatest thing about the mind is one's ability to change it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, mind changing seldom happens in a moment. Mind changing happens over time. Yeah. And it's biologically expensive to change your mind. You know, I mean, to change the way your brain works, I mean, to reshape a memory, to update the way you think and how things are connected to each other. I mean, as we said before, brains have to grow new stuff. And there are all kinds of disincentives, not that, you know, energy use is necessarily the disincentive that's operating here, but there are all kinds of disincentives for changing your mind. It's a lot of work. And to be comfortable with that and feel like it's worth it, it has to be worth it often enough. And I think what happens for many people in their just day-to-day life experience, when they do bump up against something that's dissonant with what they're thinking and they don't want to reconcile it, or they can't reconcile it, or maybe it's irreconcilable, if that's your common experience, the idea of thinking over time about some conflicting idea that somebody expressed to you, no matter how well it might have been expressed and how well intended, that's a real skill. And if you don't have any practice with that and you don't have any experience in having that lead to an interesting, at least interesting outcome, let alone a useful outcome, why would you be motivated to spend time doing that?
I think it's sometimes too, it's undervalued how fun it is to actually engage in these conversations and change your mind.
But if you've never seen that, you know, if you're a young person or an older person who's just had no experience with that. And what you have seen are people being attacked because they're not true to their position, whatever somebody declares that to be. That's an unusual thing. For a lot of times, long time, people were studying musical preferences back in the 60s and 70s, you know. And we found this, the same thing is true when people are looking at art and other kinds of things. I mean, you ask people about it, most people have two dimensions they can never talk about. I like it, I don't like it, it's good, it's bad. And usually those things are highly correlated. And that's it, you know. I mean, there's no more depth, there's no more consideration, you know. It's good. I like it. I'm done. Right. It's bad. I don't like it. I'm done. And unless I think we encourage people, children, college students, you know, adults, to think, well, let's go beyond that a little bit. What are some of the things, what are some of the features of this thing that you're in the presence of that you think are affecting you in a given way? To the extent that that's undervalued is to the detriment of just our culture in general.
And of course, you know, the other thing that relates to this is in that moment when somebody disagrees with you, you may not react in a way that allows the other person to see the influence that they're having on your thinking, because a lot of that influence happens down the line, both explicitly as you continue to ponder a conversation you had, as well as implicitly as the forces of cognitive dissonance do their work, where cognitive dissonance essentially happens when in the same moment you contemplate incompatible thoughts. And your brain works to make those more compatible, often by shifting the emphasis or the importance of certain facts over others in a way that makes that the set of thoughts that you have more consistent. And so that happens out of sight of the person you had the conversation with. And so as far as that person is concerned, you had an uncomfortable and perhaps unpleasant interaction, which may actually lead them not to want to have those kinds of conversations with you in the future. So if you acknowledge to somebody, thank you, that thing that you said actually had a profound impact on the way that I think about this now, you are closing a loop that otherwise that person might not have ever gotten closure on.
Yeah.
In ways that would encourage continued discussion and dissent.
Next week, we'll talk about how to overcome writer's block with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.